Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
All right, welcome back. It's a Health First Day, and we're looking at the health benefits of fasting today. Yes, it's a season of fasting. We had Lent. We've also had Ramadan. So both Christian and the Islamic faith, we have adherents of the two faiths embarking on fasting, and other people are just fasting for reasons best known to them. Some are fasting, maybe Easter and all that. So we thought it was going to be best to seize this opportunity to look at the benefits to our health that this activity called fasting, religious or not, brings to our bodies. You don't need to be a religious person to fast, all right? That's why it's a health topic. Some people who may not go to church or mosque still fast because of their health. We have a guest this morning who will joining us, who will be giving us her perspective on this topic and this concept of fasting for health. She's a registered dietitian and a licensed dietitian and nutritionist and a public health professional. Udeme Umo joins us via audio link this morning from somewhere in Lagos State, right here on the biggest morning radio program in Lagos, The Morning Crossfire. Udeme, good morning to you. Thanks for your time. Good to have you.
Hi, good morning. I hope you can hear me well. Good morning, Nigeria. Good morning, Lagos.
Thank you very much. I know we reached you at short notice. You're kind of busy today, so we'll make it as quick as possible. We appreciate your time right here on The Morning Crossfire. And of course, for those who are listening, I'm sure our listeners will be delighted and they're very appreciative of the information that you share this morning. If you'd like to call in, please feel free. For those listening, 0201-465-7190 is the number we'll be using for some time. It's only for our female listeners, but we've been having to share. You know, our female listeners are having to share because the main line has been down. No fault of ours. And we're working very hard with the network providers to ensure that the main line is back up so everyone can call it, male, female, and every other person. That's 0700-993-993-993. But if you try it and it goes through, fine. That's your luck. But if you can't get to us using that number, 0700-993-993-993, please call 0201-465-7190. Now, if you've called already, we have a one call per person rule, but between now and when we're done, if you've called already, please still feel free to call again. We'll do one call again in between now and when we're done. And also, if you want to send us a WhatsApp message, you're not taking WhatsApp calls or voice notes, please send your message to our WhatsApp number, 0809597-5805. From my perspective as a layman, I'm not an RDN like our guest. I've heard of water fasting. I've heard of fruit fast, which I've been doing myself every week, four times a week. I haven't eaten real food since Tuesday. I've heard of intermittent fasting, which some people I know are doing, but I don't know what kinds of fastings we have. But some experts have found that restricting food intake during the day can help prevent health problems such as high cholesterol, heart disease, obesity, as well as improve mental health and well-being. So I want to go straight to our guests. What are the types of fasting that we have as far as you guys, you from the health sector are concerned?
Okay, thank you very much. Good morning once again. Thank you for having me. I hope you can hear me.
Loud and clear, very clearly.
Okay, thank you very much. All right, so before I answer your question, I want to just differentiate between the difference between fasting and starvation, because most times people just have to use it intermittently, or they use it interchangeably, not knowing the actual difference between fasting and starvation.
Yeah.
Okay, fasting is something that is within your control, which means you have the means, you have the resources, you have the time, you have everything available, but you decide to, you know, set aside all of those things, the food, the drinks, everything that you should enjoy yourself with, and decide to go on a period of little or no food within a specific period of time. Now, for starvation is that just because there are no food available in your house, you are forced to convert it to fasting. You get that kind of, you wake up in the morning and you're like, oh, I don't have a particular thing available in the house. And if I had it, I would have had breakfast. So you starve that morning. So starvation is maybe as a result of food insecurity, food unavailability. But fasting is a period where you intentionally stay away from food, beverages, and all of that. So that's for fasting.
All right.
Now, people have different reasons why they fast. People fast for health, people fast for religious reasons, people fast for spiritual reasons. Now, there have been lots of different types of fasting. I've heard someone say something called social media fast. I've also heard something called different types of fast. But the ones that have been scientifically proven, that has evidence, that has research has proven, is just seven of them. Now, I will go right into it. Number one, we have intermittent fasting, which is a very popular one. It's called IF. And then the second kind of fasting is water fasting, where you just go for a period of time, just having water alone. And then we also have liquid. You can decide, okay, I want to just have liquid. Maybe it could be a glass of milk. It could be any kind of liquid available. Some people won't do, okay, from now, I'll just be taking fizzy drink, no food. And then the fourth kind of fasting is juice fast. I can also call this fruit fast. Some people just say, okay, I want to just go on juices. Our popular detox program that the online people sell to us. So that's a way of saying, okay, it's a type of a detox program where we just do juicing from fruits and from vegetables. We just juice. And then we have the religious fast, of course. So we have the Christian having their regular fasting. We also have the Muslims having the Ramadan fast and the like. And then the last one is fasting for a medical reason. Like, for instance, maybe you're about to go into surgery. You are asked not to eat a particular anything for a period of time just to prep your body to go into maybe surgery or fasting, surgery or a medical procedure. So that's like the seven types of fasting: intermittent fasting, water fasting, liquid fasting, juice fasting, religious fasting, and fasting for a medical procedure.
Interesting, interesting. Udomemo, if you're using your earpiece, kindly pull it out. And let's see if the audio connection will be better. Just, we can use Talk With Us without our earpiece. Let's see if it will be better. For those of you listening, she's given us the types of fasts. I giggled here when you said social media fast. But it's quite interesting, that we have that social media fast. So for those of you listening, having listened to our registered dietitian, give us this. Which one do you do? For those of you listening, which one do you do? Call us right now, 0700-993-993-993. She said there's a difference between starvation and fasting, which is very important. I never had anyone say that, but thinking about it, that's quite important. What happens to the body when we fast? Are there any benefits to the body? Even if it's just a religious fast, and people are praying and they're not even thinking about their health, are there any benefits to the body?
Yes, there are benefits. Like, for instance, initially the concept of starvation or fasting came about when food was not readily available. Like in the olden days, where before you eat, maybe you have to go to the farm. The ancient fasting is a very, very historic experience that people had long. Our fathers, our grandfathers had it. They were doing it directly or indirectly, maybe as a result of starvation or just deciding that, okay, for religious reasons, they want to just fast. Now, every time you go into a fast, your body goes through a procedure. Okay, before that time, or in the olden days, because of the limited quantity of food they had, they were not eating the way we are eating now.
Oh, I see.
I don't know if you get my point.
Okay.
So throughout history, people experienced periods where they either had scarcity or they had lack. But thank God, when technology came into place, we had things like refrigeration, transportation, electrical lighting, this processing of food, this made food more readily available. And this has actually shifted our eating pattern.
Okay.
So you'll be surprised that if you see statistics now, or you ask maybe 1 in 10 people, I can bet can tell you that, or let's say 1 in 5 people can tell you, I eat more than 3 times in a day. Yeah.
So are you saying our ancestors were not eating 3 times a day, 3 square meals, like we call
it? They were eating 3 square meals, but they were not eating the way we are eating. Let me explain. Okay, an adult now with a child wakes up in the morning. She has her own breakfast, so She serves her child breakfast, maybe cereal, and then along the line, the child didn't finish the cereal. Yes. So that the cereal will not waste. You eat your own breakfast and eat the baby's own. Now, you're on your way to work. You get to work, you have another maybe brunch or tea break by 11. How many meals is that? That's three. It's lunchtime, around 2-3. They bring maybe pasta or mala or rice or egusi, and you shut it down. You have one more board meeting, maybe like five. You're ending a board meeting, and they're bringing small chops. How many times is that? That's like almost six.
So all those nibbles are still meals, counted as meals.
So most times people don't factor in all those small but frequent meals, all those in-betweens. So when you're asking a client, what have you had? Because one of the way we track what people eat is, what have you had in the last 24 hours? They tell you, oh, I've only had just two meals. So maybe the one I had at lunch, I had amala. Then when I got home in the evening, I had pepper soup. They don't factor in all those in between, but those small, small, small things sums up to be a total of what you have had for the day. Your body didn't recognize that that was an in-between meal or this was a main meal. Wow. Everything you took in, your body recognized that. Because the entire calorie, the entire energy, the entire protein, the entire nutrient you got from everything you ate in 24 hours is going to your body. Do you understand?
Okay.
So that was where the whole system came. So that was why intermittent fasting came. When people started changing the regular eating patterns, eating as much as, you know, going without, going around, eat here, eat there, you go for a party, you're eating. So, but every time that you go into your body, for instance, now when you go into fasting, there's something called the damaged cell and the stem cells.
Okay.
So when you go into fasting, these damaged cells are the cells that have gone through process of what they call inflammation. That increases aging process, that you protect against cancer. So when you go into fasting, it kills the damaged cells faster. And then turn on the stem cells. Now, let me say this. The cell is the smallest unit of the body. So your brain rejuvenates cells. Your body rejuvenates cells. The red blood cells, the nerve cells, they are rejuvenated, which means that it is not because you were born like that, it just stays. No, it renews itself. Some of them every 14 days, some of them every 21 days, some of them every 6 months. Even your red blood cells, they are reproducing, they are rejuvenating, they are regenerating themselves. So, but if these damaged cells are not allowed to, you know, get out of the system and therefore the new ones to come up, you just find that people are breaking down. That's why we have increased rates of high blood pressure, blood control, inflammation, cancer, and the likes. So what fasting does to you is that it's to adjust your body to get rid of the damaged cells and allow the stem cells to come into play.
I see. Wow, that's quite interesting. 07-009939993993 and 0201-465-7190. Stay with us. I'll come to you shortly. Very important information you're sharing with us.
We have
a listener on the line. Hello, good morning.
Good morning. This is Mrs. Oboli calling from Ikorodu. Good morning to your dietitian as well.
Good morning. Good morning, ma.
Okay. I would really want us to have a balance here. As much as fasting also helps as a detox, I have somebody who is fasting and I keep telling her, this thing is, you know, causing serious havoc to you, your system, because it's not really everybody's system that can carry it. So she tends to have ulcer, most times the linings of our inner walls and all that. So I keep telling her, the fact that fasting works for A, it doesn't really work for B. Whatever fasting, you know, one is planning to take. So I really want you to strike a balance here, that if you are fasting and your system is not really aligning with it, what can you do? Because most people tend to do these things because people say it is good. It's a detox, it helps you, it does this. But then, let's just strike a balance. If it's not working for you, it means you are not aligned with it. That's just what I want.
Okay,
when you say
this person you know, the system is not carrying it or allowing her, how do you mean? What exactly is she experiencing?
Okay, she has triggers whenever she fasts.
Triggers of what?
She knows what I'm saying here. She has triggers whenever she's fasting. Okay. Sometimes it makes her throw up. Sometimes she has gaseous exchange, acid reflux, everything, the whole nine yards. So that's what I'm trying to say. She's aware of what I'm saying.
All right. Is there any other thing you want to add? Okay. All right. Udememo, what do you say to Mrs. Obolu, who has raised a very important point?
Thank you very much for that question, ma'am. All right, there's a way God created the human body. It's created to balance itself from time to time. It's called homeostasis. It's like what happens to your stabilizer, for instance. When the stabilizer attached to your fridge or generator, whatever it is, whatever appliances you have in the house, when there's high voltage, the stabilizer helps to regulate, you know, self-regulates the outage, I'm not an engineer, outage of power or something like that. So the body has been created such a way that you don't overdo things and you don't underdo things. But unfortunately, we live in a culture whereby because something works for one person, we assume that it should work for everybody. So for her now, whenever you go into fasting, you know, every time you eat, your body stores energy and uses the one that it needs. So when you fast and you stay for a period of time without food going into your mouth, the body goes to go and take the reservoir, the stored in form of glycogen, and convert it back to glucose and continues to run your daily activities. Imagine you sleeping and waking up, there's no energy in your body. I don't think you'll be able to wake up. Because even while you're sleeping, your body is using energy. While you're breathing, it is using energy. Even when you are consciously active or inactive, the body still uses energy. So for somebody like her, who has gone to an extreme, if only she understood that she's already putting her body in a destabilized state. For her to have gotten into acid reflux, it means that the body has now, you know, is that you, it's like using a generator, you overuse it to a point that it just shuts down. So the body is no longer regulating it. That's why we have the adverse effects where you can see acid reflux and the like. So I would advise, you know, and it's one downside of our culture, our African culture. Once we find something beneficial, we tend to abuse it. So much of a good thing is also an abuse. So it's not only when you take in bad things that is an abuse. Misuse of these things is like an abuse. I always talk about that diet is like medications. You would say because I have a very strong headache now, I will now swallow 6 pills of paracetamol or 6 tablets of paracetamol at a time. Number one, it won't resolve the headache. Number two, you've caused damage to your liver. So the word moderation should be really drummed into the ears of our people. When something is good, doesn't mean that we should abuse it. So I think for her, she just needs to see consultable a dietitian or a medical practitioner who will sit her down and guide her, because our bodies have been wired differently. That's why dietary regimen is usually highly individualized. You personalize it.
All right.
You will say because it worked for that person or this person does not mean that my own system or your system will work the same way.
All right. Interesting. We want to go for a quick hype, but one of our listeners here is asking for you to kindly explain the difference between fasting and starvation, so we know we're doing it right. Maybe if you're doing your fasting and then, but you're not really fasting right, you're now more or less you're starving instead of fasting because you're not doing it right. Can you speak to that? Okay, very quickly, within 50 seconds, if you can.
Okay, fasting is what you do because of factors beyond your control. But fasting is something you do around factors within your control. Starvation is that because something is not available, that's why you're starving.
All right. All right.
But if it's available and you make a choice not to indulge, then you're fasting.
Okay. I will come back to this because after the break, I'd like you to tell me, Odeme Omo, is there a way one could fast and fast wrongly that will end up making it starvation? I don't know. But when we come up from this break, you tell me. And then we'll look at more benefits of fasting, all right, to our health. Because there's this controversy about diabetes and blood sugar and all that, we want fast. So we'll come back to you after this short commercial break. Stay with us. Odeme Omo is our guest. She's a registered dietitian and nutritionist right here on Health Thursday on the Morning Cross. My name is Kofi Bartels. Please stay with us.
This is an infomercial.
Introducing the essence of true authenticity in fragrance, Wasabi Perfume, the correct scent, a unique blend that captivates the authentic spirit of Nigeria, now available in both perfume and body spray. Designed for everyone, yes, you heard it right. Wasabi is a unisex fragrance perfect for both men and women. Its rich and versatile aroma is a statement of inclusivity and unity. Unleash your confidence with every spray. Are you a retailer or do you you love to buy in bulk, we've got you covered across Nigeria. Wazobe perfume comes in cartons of 24 bottles and the body spray is available in cartons of 48. Interested in making Wazobe perfume a part of your collection or store? For carton purchases, contact us at email contact@wazobiacosmetics.ng. That is, in capital letters, contact@wazobiacosmetics.ng, or call us on 0009-597-5981. 0009-597-5981. Our team is ready to assist you with your orders. Wazobe Perfume, the correct scent. Your new signature fragrance is just a call or a click away. Authentic, unisex, confidence. Wazobia.
All right, we're still here on the Morning Crossfire. Please keep your messages coming through. After that hype, we'll go for a set of commercials, like I said. And we'll be back in 6 minutes, and then we'll take more of your thoughts. I see a message here. Tope Najegunle says, I think what Mrs. Oboli wanted to say is that can fasting lead to ulcer? Okay, well, Tope, we'll answer your question. I guess we'll take that when we come back from our commercial break. Please stay with us.
Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
All right, welcome back. It's still Health First Day right here on the Morning Crossfire 99.3 Nigeria Info. I'm Kofi Bartels. Our guest this morning is a registered dietitian. She's a licensed dietitian and a nutritionist, and she is a public health professional. She's a member of the Nutrition Society of Nigeria, member of the International Confederation of Dietetic Association. Hey, member Institute for Dietetics in Nigeria. As a registered dietitian and nutritionist, she has worked with the University of Oyo Teaching Hospital, Oyo Akwa Ibom State, University of Nigeria Teaching Hospital, Enugu, and Lagos University Teaching Hospital, and also consulted for several private hospitals for patients with different disease conditions like diabetes, hypertension, Parkinson's disease, anemia, high cholesterol, cancer, GERD, all right, menopause, fertility, and fibroid issues, and lots more. As a public health professional, she's worked as a research assistant, research dietitian, and supervisor on national and international non-government organizations such as TED Fund Project on Malnutrition, Save the Children International, World Health Organization, WHO, International Vaccine Institute, Urban Malaria Study on local and state projects in communities meant to promote health and prevent diseases. Her name is Udeme Umor, and she joins us this morning on the Crossfire to look at the health benefits of fasting in the season of Lent and Ramadan. Are there any health benefits attached? She says yes, there are benefits. She talked about cells in our body are the ones that are meant to dying and have to replace with new cells. But she also says that everything must be done in moderation. Don't overdo it, as it is with everything in life. Before we went on the break, one of our listeners asked a question. I want to rephrase it. Is there a way you could fast and render that fast ineffective because you're not doing it right?
Okay. First and foremost, let me just say, who should not be fasting?
All right.
I think we should start from there. Even as much as we all just say, oh, let's fast, improves our health, let's fast. Who should not be fasting? Number one, growing children should not be fasting. Pregnant or breastfeeding women should not be fasting. Those who are malnourished should not be fasting. Then people with some kind of diseases like type 1 diabetes, cancer, liver disease, kidney disease, reflux, and heartburn. So I see people, the thing is that you go into fasting without not even considering what is your medical status, what is your health status. It's like saying you want to go and get a loan from the bank. They will ask you many questions. What's your financial status, you know? But when it comes to our health here, we are very used to being self-diagnosing ourselves. It's very rare to find people walk up to the doctor and say, okay, doctor, I'm about to go on the fasting. Can I know what my health status is? Can my body take it? So I think that's where we make the mistake from. Without our first finding who is qualified to even go on a fast. Just because it's been declared as a religious fast, or just because somebody said online that if you do fruit fast, if you do take spoons for the next 14 days, you know, you would move from 109 to you know, 59, we just buy it and then we just go on a ride without not first doing our own assessment. So that's, I think the first step is to first know who should be fasting and who should not be fasting. So people who have health conditions, who have medical histories, who have done proper medical assessments, laboratory assessments, who know their health status, should be the one to say, okay, can I go on a fast or can I not go on a fast?
I see. All right. One of our listeners, I think via WhatsApp, said to help Mr. Boli rephrase the question. But I would say it's his question too as well. For those who have ulcer, can they have issues if they go on any of the fasts that you mentioned? He's also asking, can fasting lead to ulcer? That's talk by Najegule.
Yes, fasting can lead to ulcer. Even consistent fast, even though ulcer is caused by a particular bacteria, you know, found around the gut area, but there's how you can subject the body to now self-defend itself. Something that, now I mentioned earlier, that we have a particular system that God has put in place where the body self is able of self-defense, self-protect against external forces, you know. But when you now expose yourself too much, it gets to a point that your body now begins to fight itself instead of protecting itself. So that's where ulcer comes in. But for somebody who has ulcer, I have once had ulcer, and it was as a result of taking drugs consistently than I should have, which was when I was really young and I was at my very nice. If I got into food health, like became a health practitioner. But when I got to have the right knowledge and I started taking steps, so I didn't fast for a period of time when I had ulcer until I was able to address that.
All right.
And it went, and it's never come back. Like, it's been a long time. Okay. I took the right step, saw a doctor, took the right diet, and then it went.
Okay, interesting. Have you heard people say, oh, I was diagnosed with ulcer, even maybe peptic ulcer or some other sort of ulcer, and I used to feel tummy aches sometimes when I don't eat, but nowadays I fast and I don't feel that pain anymore. I can fast and I'm okay. Have you heard anyone say something like that before? Is it even possible?
It's possible. Maybe they now had the right diet and their body was able to now arrest that situation. It's possible. Right. And they might have even eaten it unknowingly, that they've been eating the right diet.
I see.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go through the different types of fasting. Personally, I recently started to do a fruit fast. I just got a brainwave and I went onto it, and I fruit fast 4 days a week, you know, I fruit fast 4 days a week. And then the remaining 3 days, I get everything back into my system, be it protein. I may not be doing it right, so please don't judge me. Maybe we'll talk after now, if I can afford you. But talk to us about, and I've seen that a bit of my weight has dropped. You know, I just want to stay healthy, really. That's it. So talk to us about the different kinds of fasting, how to do them right.
Okay, first and foremost, before you go into any fasting, you can't talk about fasting. Now I'm talking about time. So I think the origin of fasting was, we talk about what type of food, but we don't talk about the timing. So the difference between somebody who eats normal diet and somebody who fasts is timing. Somebody can decide, okay, I will not eat, maybe I will start my first meal at 12 and my last meal at 8. And we eat all the calorie that somebody who started eating at 6 a.m. or 7 a.m. till 7 p.m. had consumed. So the difference is just timing. And then also, second thing about fasting is it sustainable? If something is not sustainable for you, then why should you venture into it? And also, when you do these things and then you do this today, tomorrow you do that, you are confusing your body metabolism. That's why you find that people that do this strict diet, all of a sudden they lose 5 kg, 10 kg, and 2 weeks later, in fact, research has shown that most of them, after fasting, whether it's a religious fast, whether it's a health fast, there's a possibility of you regaining that health, that weight, 3 weeks after you have stopped that program. So if I'm going to gain that weight back, why am I now venturing on it in the first place? So for somebody like you who is doing a fruit fast, I want to ask, why did you choose to do a fruit fast?
It's a long story. I've read some material on it. I just felt I felt I needed to detox. I felt I just needed to free myself, give my bowels a rest, really. and eat healthy. You know, after you've eaten a lot of junk food for a while and you say, okay, you know, I want to leave this lifestyle. And I needed to really fast, and I felt I could not go without food for a while, as much as others have the strength to do. So I said, okay, let me do the one that my body can, my stomach can afford, instead of rushing, to do maybe water fast, or just to stay without food for a day or two, you know. So I'm doing the one I can afford, and really, I think I need all that. I mean, I've eaten a lot of things that I don't like. It's not on advice; it's just based on what I've read out there, you know. So that's that. That's for me. That's the reason why, you know. And at a certain age, if you're not working out, you're not okay. So the medicine is it, yeah. My BMI, if you look at me, with the ordinary eye, you wouldn't know that my BMI is high. But consistently, each time I go for my checkup, they tell me my BMI is high, and they told me I'm extremely obese. Believe it or not, you know. So that makes, and it's always been the case. And I've been told if I don't try to shed some weight, especially on my abdomen, you know, my tummy, my chest, everywhere, that it may have adverse effects on my heart. You know, I don't have the time to work out. I don't have the time to exercise. Really, I'm very busy. You know, and the only time I try to create time to sleep, if I can't sleep, so I don't really have the time. And I felt I needed to do something. I just needed to do something to help myself. You understand? So I've been able to shed some weight. And I can see that my abdomen is a bit leaner. Certainly, my waistline has gone down. Okay, but I eat. You know, the rest of the 3 days I do that. And maybe as time goes on, someone like you can give me the right way to go about it. But I just need to get myself back down some kgs. You know.
Okay. All right. For somebody who has a very busy schedule, if you won't tell me you don't have 30 minutes in a day. Now, let me say this. Research has now shown that the sitting is now the new smoking. Yeah.
Sitting is the new smoking.
It's the new smoking. The same effect that smoking does to the system, the same effect that sitting consistently does to the system.
I see.
So, in as much as we want to, and I always say this, that physical training and diet is like the king and the queen of a kingdom.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. So if you have diet and you don't have physical exercise or strength training, what's going to happen to the kingdom? If it's a king without a queen, I think we should just take it back home. If it really matters to you, you know, one of my mentors will say, the moment you get to the age of 35, 40, you don't eat for enjoyment, you eat for life.
Absolutely. That's what I'm trying to do. That's what I'm trying to do. Yeah.
But now the approach now matters. Because something about wisdom, diet wisdom, nutrition wisdom, it has to be the right approach. Yes, we want to get a particular result, but what approach are we using? So if it's just about diet, there are other health benefits that physical activity will give to you that you would even enjoy doing with the diet. For instance, that if you're somebody who is physically active, one of them is that your productivity would increase. Secondly, it helps to control your appetite. Your happy hormones are available and the likes. So for me, I would say, how long do you think you can keep up with the 4 days of eating just fruits?
Okay, so I don't know. That's why, I always speak to someone to know, you know, what else I can do. But the thing is, I mean, honestly, I love exercise. I love outdoor activity. I used to play football on the big field twice a week just to keep myself physically active. But the truth is, as it stands, I can't afford daily exercise. I'm being honest.
It doesn't have to be.
But what I try to do sometimes is to take a walk. Maybe in the office I can walk around the compound, you know, put on my Skechers, you know, even a wearing suit, I wear Skechers and walk around, you know. But in order not to lose track, what you're saying is, I need to add to my dieting or whatever it is I'm doing. I need to add physical exercise to it, make sure I have a balance.
Yes.
Okay. Fantastic. Udeme, let's leave me for now. I won't go to the phone lines because a lot of listeners are trying to call in, and then I'll come back to you. Hello, good morning.
Hello, good morning.
Yeah, what's your name?
This is Joy.
Okay, Joy, from Iba?
No, this is Market Woman. Market.
Oh, yeah, Market Woman, welcome. Please go on.
Hey. is saying the truth. No, when we used to go to farm, we will not eat until we walk. After we have walked, before we come and eat. But it's not like that now. This our generation, we eat too much. What I observe about myself, if I fast, I'm very strong. But when I say, okay, let me go and break and eat food, my body will now become heavy. I'll say, is it this food do too much damage to my body or what? And again, fasting cannot bring ulcer. There is something wrong before. It's not that fasting. Fasting is good for our body. Thank you.
All right. That's someone who is agreeing with you. I don't know what you say to that.
She's correct.
Okay. I was diagnosed with is it peptic ulcer? He told me I had ulcer and they gave me some drugs to take. But I find that even if it's religious fast or this one I'm doing, I don't feel no pain no more. It's been a long time. Is it that it's hidden there? But like I said, maybe we'll talk. I don't want to make this about me. But is it that it's hidden there? People like me, is it hidden there? Or maybe our body is healing.
Well, the body has the power to self-heal itself. It could just be that there was something you were not doing right, and along the line, instead of giving the body the right nutrient that it needs, and then it's now healing itself.
Mm. All right.
Like I said, what it happened to me too. I used to have ulcer as well. But when I, became fully aware about nutritional knowledge, I started practicing officially, and now I begin to take conscious effort about what I eat and what I don't eat. It just disappeared one day. I found out it was no longer there. And it's been off for years now, yes.
Wow. In fact, if you cook and you put pepper inside, you and me will fight then. But I think now I don't feel it again. Let's quickly, the different types of fasting and the benefits. So you talked about diabetics, that people who have type 2 diabetes should not fast. But I've seen some people who say they had pre-diabetes, for instance, and that they started intermittent fasting and then they went for another test and the pre-diabetes was gone. So please tell us, what is intermittent fasting and can it cure diabetes?
Okay, so intermittent fasting is a pattern of eating that switches between periods of fasting and non-fasting. Yeah. There are different types. Intermittent fasting is a lot of top, like it's a long topic that will stay here. We will not finish it today. Mm-hmm. But what I would say is it's supposed to be used for a period of time.
Okay.
Yes, so not everyone should just wake up and say, because somebody said he or she had type 1 diabetes or had pre-diabetes and then started doing intermittent and it reversed. It may not be so for everybody. So for pre-diabetes, we all know that it's the beta cells which produces insulin that breaks down, One of the things it does is that during that fasting period, it makes your insulin more sensitive to do its work.
Okay.
And it could also have been as a result of weight loss. Because even research has shown that if you are able to lose 5 to 10% of your correct weight, your blood pressure and your blood sugar level will be better controlled.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Hmm.
So when people come to me and say, I want to go from 100 to 59, I'm like, let's just start with 5%.
Take it easy.
5 to 10, slow and steady. Mm. I personally am not a fast person. Like, what I mean by fast, I see because of the way our, we want to have fast diet, fast weight loss, everything fast.
Mm-hmm.
But those weights were not gained fast.
Mm.
It kept happening over a period of time. You kept eating. So it would take a while to, get it down slowly. And when you get it down slowly, there's something that progress does to the mind. When it's so fast, it looks like it's fake. Even your mind cannot believe that it actually happened.
Mm.
So the mind can trick itself to go back to eating and tell, no, this is not real. This cannot be possible.
Mm.
But when you do something gradually, there's this sense of satisfaction.
All right. Because of time, quickly, what is the right way, the safest way to break a fast? Some people want to eat everything they didn't eat from morning till night.
Okay, first and foremost, the best way to break a fast is to start with warm water.
Okay.
Then give yourself about 30 minutes to 1 hour. Have something light. When I mean something light, I mean something a bit, when it comes to texture, something a bit tenderized, like pap, like moin moin, like oats, like maybe a drink or something. Then give yourself another 2 hours. Then you eat small portion nutrient-rich food. So, but I see the mistake. I remember I had a, I was at a facility one time where a man, a 70-year-old man, broke his fast with a bottle of fizzy drink and then died
some hours
later.
Oh,
yes,
really?
This was real before my very eye. Yes.
True story.
True story, yes. True story.
Jesus.
True story.
Jesus.
He was rushed into the facility, and then by the time we began to probe and probe and probe, he had fasted about maybe 24 hours straight or something. He had gone through a series of fasting, and then the first thing, because of how, you know, and that's a mistake we make. And went off immediately.
Ah, my God.
So I'm sure if he had known his health status before starting the fast, maybe there were other, you know, pre-existing conditions we don't know. But it just so, that's why we have to be very careful that just because something is trending doesn't mean that it's valuable and is the truth. Find out what works with you. You know, they said there are two kinds of pain.
Okay, please hold the thought. I'm so sorry. Let's take a hype. We'll come back and then we'll say goodbye. We'll give you a time to round off, please.
Okay.
Okay.